Tungsten Jackal Ghost Cosgrove.
Oh, the deja vu is strong with this one.
Yes, the force is well nowhere with this one.
I'll put a clip at the end of this episode, but this has been, I think, probably 40 minutes of faff to get to this point, which is the start of the episode, with missed connections, wrong days, calendars not working, 4G not working, Wi-Fi issues, and then someone not pressing record. So it's been chaotic, I think is the correct term. But
and there were some great gags about the British ambassador. And, oh, never mind. Lost to the eons of time.
Episode. If you listen, eagle-eared listeners, I suppose, can listen to the end, and they will hear my half of the first 2 minutes of the podcast that never was.
Eagle-eared listeners.
I mean,
oh, I tell you what, we're at the top of our game, Cosgrove. We really are.
Oh, welcome. Welcome to the podcast episode 199, the episode that shouldn't. How are you?
I'm a bit discombobulated. I was dozing off on the couch and suddenly my phone started persisting at me. And it turns out I'm busy this evening. Who knew?
Whoops, not you.
Well, anyway, I checked my calendar to make sure that you were talking utter nonsense. And indeed, my calendar knew I was busy. Oh, dear.
We moved our episode a day forward. Yeah, and it's apparently thrown everyone for a loop. So anyway, my internet's been rubbish. Your calendar's been excellent. And now we're here. So, yay, what are you writing with?
Well, I am writing with a Blackwing 602 in a pencil extender that I believe came from you.
Is it red?
No, this is a wooden little combination, sort of bullety pencil thing. It's got a big pink eraser at one end.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, a sort of very, very complex sort of holding mechanism. And a pencil that looks like it's been properly sort of shaved down by Cosgrove to fit.
This could be a Metal Shop CT bullet pencil, I think.
That sounds very much like the fellow, yes.
Yeah, those are lovely. And
it's absolutely cracking. It's lovely. So I thought I'd break it out. And I'm now just mindlessly unscrewing it, which I suppose is what happens with these things.
Yeah, it's a fidget spinner pencil analog as well as a pencil itself. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's lovely. And of course, it's got a 602 in it, so that's brilliant. And I've been writing quite a lot in Heavy Duty by Field Notes, which is their sort of flip-top notebook. Oh, which has been very exciting. What about you? What have you been writing?
Well, I'm writing with a Blackwing 602 as well. This is the same one that I've been writing in for the last, I don't know, three episodes, I think. It's approaching Steinbeck. We're definitely on approach. I'd say this one will see the year out, but only just. But also, I've been writing an awful lot on my keyboard with Markdown. A lot of Markdown. And Markdown is one of those things that, like, on the face of it, would absolutely appeal to me. Whenever you start getting into what it is and, like, this is what it does, this is what it's for, would really appeal. Maybe a year or two ago, probably a little more than that, when I wasn't super into programming and when I wasn't sort of diving deep on this stuff, it was like, well, I think I vaguely know how to, there's a hashtag somewhere, and I sort of vaguely understood what it was trying to do, but didn't really read into it any more than that. It was complicated and it was a thing that I wasn't going to figure out now. My goodness, now the strength of, okay, Word, you want me to write this in Microsoft Word? No, thank you. Styles? No. I'm not taking my hands off this keyboard. If you make me touch the mouse, I quit. I'm not doing it. I've just used Markdown for everything now. Lots of writing in Obsidian, lots of writing in, I think, Typora, a couple of different ones I've tried for getting Markdown on the Mac in a nice, friendly way. But yeah, just the ability to format really quickly and consistently, like, Obsidian's amazing for me writing stuff because you can do all the templating. And so I'll be able to drop a template in and then just fill it. And then I've got a note ready to go. So I've already moved my journaling over to Obsidian and it's all linked and it's all dated and it's all tagged. And oh, it's magic. We'll do it. We can talk about it sometime. But yeah, Markdown is the real flavor of the week. I'm really enjoying it and had to use Microsoft Word for something the other day. Someone had sent me Microsoft Word and they were like, can you put this on the website? Okay. Yeah. That's a Microsoft Word document. Cool. Right. There's a lot of formatting. Okay. Cool. Oh, this piece of text appears to be a JPEG. That's, I'm not sure that's the way that's supposed to be. Okay. What I would give my country for some plain text, just to have text I could control A, control C, control V, rather than going through and going, do you want it in size 47 Calibri, light pink? No, that's not ideal, thanks. So yes, markdown.
I started getting into it a few years ago, and then as I started blogging a little bit more, I fell upon Ulysses, which is Markdown-esque. It's not pure Markdown, but it's Markdown-esque. But the bigger appeal of it for me was a very simple, sort of straightforward look.
Yeah.
That can handle long form. So Sean, my novel, was living in there for a while. But B, I had an export, a publish button, so I could publish to my blog directly.
Which I read today, your latest post. There's some, it's getting dangerous by the signs of that most recent email.
Well, the thing is that I've now moved the blog, so the blog lives on Ghost now, yes, which is you know, something that isn't WordPress, but IA Writer, which is a true Markdown editor. Again, publishes direct to Ghost. So I tap away in Markdown, press a button, boom, it's on Ghost.
Yeah.
It needs no further formatting, or very little. Usually needs a bit of correcting because, well, hey, you know, attention to detail, that's not really me. But I put in some meta data and stuff, bang, publish it. It's all done in seconds and it's so, so smooth.
Yeah.
And as you say, occasionally you have to do something corporate and you open Microsoft Word and it's like an assault on your eyes. It's like, what is all of this nonsense?
Toolbars on toolbars on toolbars as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? I had no idea I would ever want to do one tenth of these things. And come to think of it, I don't want to do one tenth of these things. It's a horrible thing. Oh. Anyway. Well, so yes, welcome to Markdown. We're Markdown sort of cool people. Sean, yes, I think I've had some really good feedback from members of the site who are kind of beta readers, I suppose. And sort of some of the stuff that's now happening in Sean, I think, needs to probably move a little bit further forward in the narrative. I need to drop people into the action a bit faster. But yeah, we're getting some action now, which means I have to start. I don't know, it's a slightly different style of writing. You try to write something with a little bit more snap to it. Interesting for me. I'll look forward to the feedback. I'm wearing my helmet. You know, got my armor on. I'm ready for it.
Well, I'm really enjoying it. I get the email sort of newsletter posts of it, and every time, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, because I'll answer my emails sort of sporadically once or twice a day, and it doesn't matter what I'm currently doing. If I was checking my email while the kettle was finishing boiling, I'm reading, because I start reading the start years because it pops up, and then I'm like, well, I'll have to reboil the kettle in about 5 minutes. Don't worry about it. Because I'll stand there and read it because it does just grab me. I really like your style of writing and I really like the story.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. So we're at, just pull back the curtain a tiny bit. We've just reached the first pinch point of the second act. So that's a quarter of a way into the second act. And the second act is, generally speaking, half the book. Mm. So if you can work out how far we're into the whole book, great. Send me a postcard and I'll work from there. So now I move towards the sort of midpoint, which is, as you might suggest, is a bit of a sort of fulcrum in how the thing goes. Mm. But I know where it's going. Some of the characters are changing a little, which is great. If you write long form stuff, you'll experience this, where the characters start, that it sounds so trite, but they kind of tell you, no, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. Well, you build up context. So you're like, well, yeah, they've hated that reaction to a thing every time I've introduced it. So it'd be weird if they were suddenly like, yeah, it seems fine. So they, yeah, you know,
exactly.
The characters start sort of standing on their own two feet a wee bit, I think, and you go, that doesn't sound like something she would say, or that doesn't sound like something he would do.
Absolutely. So, yeah, really enjoying it. I had all sorts of sort of things go wrong on me on Monday, but we'll talk about that. Which Monday morning is one of my writing sort of times. So Tuesday was a little bit tense. Like, oh, I've got quite a lot to do. I need to get knuckled down here, which often is a good thing. Some constraints, a little bit of time pressure. Boom. So yeah, that was good. What about watching? Have you been watching anything good?
Well, I did go to the cinema again. I went to a very, very fancy cinema in Northern Ireland, in Bangor, where every seat was a recliner, like an electric recliner. And Ooh. You have sort of one small sedan's car worth of foot room around every single person. It was huge. And sort of just recline and look up at the screen. It was brilliant. And I have the membership pass thing, so it was included in that, so it didn't cost me any extra. A bit of a trek for me down to Bangor, about 45 minutes or so, but it was worth going to, with friends. So, but I went to see Eternals, which is the new Marvel film, which, generally speaking, how can I describe, if you've not seen or read or know anything about it, it's what if we did Suicide Squad, but everyone was Superman? That's broadly it. They're all basically Supermen. And yeah, it's fine. I mean, the Marvel movies are fun, right? They're fun. They're action packed. They're funny, and they kind of they do their thing, right? They have a niche. They do it well. I kind of watched and I was like, yeah, that was 6 out of 10. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But I mean, I'm not going to be writing, a video essay about how it was narratively constructed. It didn't blow me away, and the thing was strange or startling. It was just fine. But yeah, I kind of find a lot of the Marvel ones tend to be like that for me, where I watch them and I don't dislike them, but I don't come out going, that was amazing. I was like, that did well. It stood on its own 2 feet and finished what it was trying to say. Okay, moving on. Something that I do really like watching, which we watched another episode of tonight, What We Do in the Shadows, which is the Taika Waititi sort of comedy vampire series based on the comedy vampire show or film. And so there's been a little bit of character crossover. So the man himself appeared in the most recent episode we were doing. And he directed Thor Ragnarok, and he directed Jojo Rabbit and things like that. So great director, but you can kind of, it's his sort of trademark tone and style and sort of funny flavor to it, which is brilliant. And I just really enjoy watching whatever he makes, because it's a bit like Wes Anderson. It's very, very much him, right? It's an auteur's kind of approach to something, where it's not going, oh, I'm making an action movie, so I have to make it this way. It's like, well, I'm making my movie, so I have to make it the way I make movies. And it just kind of is very much their own thing. So I very much enjoyed this series. I think we've got maybe 4 or 5 more episodes, maybe less than that, of the season. So we're just taking...
Now playing motivated music.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, well, there you are. Motivated music. Let's have it.
Stop. Copyright. Stop. Siri, stop. Hey, Siri, stop. Well, that's a copyright adventure.
Well, I think it's short enough for it to not to be a problem. Hang on. I've got the lawyers. Yep. It's fine. It's okay. You can carry on.
Let me just write down 13:41 minutes impending lawsuit. Perfect. Yeah. Anyway, What We Do in the Shadows. Fantastic. Really enjoying it. You should give it a watch if you haven't. And then what else? We finished Orville, which is the sort of the guy who makes Family Guy. And I've completely blanked on his name. Seth MacFarlane.
Mr. Guy? Mr. Family.
Seth MacFarlane. Okay. Who makes Family Guy. This is sort of his Star Trek spoof show that's part spoof but part serious show. Like, it actually does touch on some interesting topics, and it tells its own story in a very good way. We both really enjoyed that. Meg, surprisingly, someone who would not be into Star Trek or Star Wars or anything like that, she watched this and was like, oh, can we watch another episode of Orville? Okay, yeah, sure. The Star Trek thing? Great, yeah, cool. Stuff. So we finished it. Season 2 finished that the other day. I kind of assumed it was cancelled, because the last season 2, had come out in, what, 2018 or something? So I thought, well, we've not seen season 3. We're not gonna. But
what? Why could that be? I mean, has anything happened since 20?
Well, 2018.
Well, I don't know how long it takes to make a Star Trek spoof.
Well, I mean,
you got to fly into space for a start.
You got it. Well, they did do that. There's a Russian film being done in space, filming on ISS a couple of weeks ago.
Well, there you go, anyway. You see.
Yeah, 2022, new season coming. So I was completely wrong. So excited to see that when it comes out. But yeah, those are the three things I've been watching. And different things, different styles, but all of them good in their own way, I suppose.
Splendid. Very good. Because I had a night off tonight, I settled down to watch some TV. Finished Maid, the Netflix drama starring all the McDowells, all sorts of generations. Very, very serious subject matter, sort of about domestic abuse. And I wouldn't belittle that in any way, but for God's sake, do I have to watch so much cleaning?
I'm sure there's a catharsis in there. There's meaning in the cleaning.
Oh, probably. But I mean, I was watching it out of one eye, and the other eye I was watching a glacier walk past it. I mean, it was so slow. The last episode and a half, the sort of resolution, it gathered a bit of pace, which was nice, and it was a bit satisfying. But it was so insipid. Which appears to be a very controversial opinion. People I've seen on Twitter going, "Oh, it's fantastic." No, it isn't. However, as an antidote to that, once Mrs. L's gone to bed, I was doing the whole Netflix scroll thing, which doesn't take long for me because I watch about one TV program a fortnight, and I found a thing called Mr. Robot. Did you see this? 2015?
I think I've seen season one, perhaps, or most of season one.
Okay. Yeah, there are four seasons, apparently. Stars Rami Malek, who sort of shot to fame playing Freddie Mercury in the Queen Bio. It's really good. It's about hacking. The sort of target company is called Evil Corp, which is... I don't know, a little unsubtle, I think. I mean,
is it not sort of, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I think it's kind of, you're not quite sure. He's an unreliable narrator and you're not quite sure if it's called Evil Corp or it's called something and he sees it as Evil Corp. Am I right in that?
Yeah, it starts off being something else. It's first mentioned as something else, I think. I can't be bothered to rewind. But... It then becomes Evil Corp, and sort of all the characters start referring to it as Evil Corp. But as you say, he's not the most reliable of narrators. I mean, he's essentially talking to himself, which is it's something I do. But it doesn't fill you with confidence. But it's good. It's an interesting sort of subject area. Christian Slater turns up being a little bit weird, so that's nice. I've watched a couple of episodes and. I sort of look forward to my late night viewing of a bit of Mr. Robot.
He's the new baddie in the James Bond film too.
Is he really? Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me actually.
He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, so my show note was this fellow can act a bit. very good, very good. Then I watched. I'm up to date with C2. And again, my show note is that I need to clean the TV out because it's full of blood. We had a sort of, big battle. A load of people who can't see each other slicing each other up very efficiently. I mean, who knew? And then Foundation. Still not a Scooby-Doo what's going on there, but it's beautifully shot. Sort of clone gods are taking on human challenges. Of course they are. I mean, why wouldn't they?
I still haven't caught up. I think I'm in episode 3 and I need to catch up because people are now talking about it.
TJ, it doesn't matter. Look, I can talk you through it scene by scene. You won't understand a thing. You'll go off and watch it. You still won't understand a thing. It's fine. I'm hoping that there's some masterful storytelling going on and this is all going to be sort of drawn together at the end. But I'm beginning to feel like I might need to start doing sketch notes just to keep up.
Mind mapping, perhaps?
Yeah, exactly. This is maybe not a compliment, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Oh, that's enough television. Good Lord. What about listening? What have you been listening to?
Well, this music, I think if you had to try and describe it to somebody who's never heard it, would be, this is what rock music would be for robots. So if your Roomba listened to Metallica, it would be this. It's called Master Boot Record, and it's electronic metal, I suppose. So everything's synthesized. It kind of sounds like a floppy disk mixed with a modem in the best possible way. So you'll remember the sort of grinding gears of a 90s era computer connecting to the internet.
Oh, yes.
That, but pretend it's a guitar. That I mean, I don't think I can describe it any more accurately than that. Go and listen to some. I think you might actually enjoy it. But
I have. You've recommended this before. Right. Yeah, yeah. And it is, well, for me, it's a trip down memory lane. For most people, it's like, oh, that's a bit weird. But yes, I remember when that's how you got onto the internet.
Yeah, that's the dial-up. But no, I really like that. That's kind of my go-to programming music. So if I'm sitting down to write some Python quite poorly, then I'll put on this and I'll pretend I'm in Mr. Robot. That's kind of the vibe you get. You feel like every keystroke matters when actually you're like, oh, I need to backspace. Yeah, that's spelled wrong. Just, you know, not nearly as cool or efficient, but it makes you sound cool. At least you think you look cool.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to just wander around saying to people, are you a one or a zero? there you go. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Well, I was on Twitter the other day and was reminded, or, well, told, that Achtung Baby by U2, that album, which is, from my point of view, sort of late U2, I was beginning to go off them by this stage. That's 30 years old. Oh, my. By the time that album came out, I'd already seen U2 15 times in concert and was beginning to go off them. Wow, I'm old. It's not a bad album, but it's the album that nearly broke U2 up. It's where the Edge and Bono, which is the sort of guitarist and lead vocalist, for those who don't know U2, wanted to go one way, and the rhythm section wanted to go another, and it was all very tense. So they went to Berlin, as you would. I made an album that was a little bit dancey for you two. If you haven't heard it, have a listen. But you will know one of the songs, One, which is one of their sort of big ballady type songs that did really well. And so disappointed, heartbroken that was 30 years old, and therefore meaning that 30 years ago I was already old enough to go, yeah, you too, I think they've kind of had their day. So I listened to an album called Soul Mining by The, which I've spoken about before on the podcast, I know, which is 8 years older than Acton Baby. that really did come out a long time ago. That came out in 84, I'm going to say. But it's got an amazing piano solo by Jules Holland. If you're in the States, you might not know who he is. If you're British, then Hootenanny on New Year's Eve. Him, that fellow. Everybody American, go and look it up. But really, really, really good pianist, sort of blues pianist. And it's a great album, fantastic album. It was, what do they call it? Post-punk electro pop, I think is what they call that.
I'm just thinking about the record store. You know the way they do that thing where if, say, the Ramones, it'll be Ramones, comma, The. How does it work with this? Is it just The, comma, The, and it doesn't, it's like a palindrome, it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. I think there may have been some intention in that, you know, TJ.
Is it backwards? Well, flip it around. Well, is it backwards now? I'm not sure.
It's a really good album, trust me. Some of the lyrics in it are brilliant, but I'm gonna use one as a quote later. Reading. What have you been reading?
Well, I got back to reading, although it was in the audio form. I won't be dissuaded. It still counts. So I have, I think, 7 audiobooks queued up on Audible, which is great and also terrifying because many of them are over 10 hours or 15 hours. So I'm looking at it going, well, that's a day, and that's a day, and that's a day. And I currently have 90 minutes of travel every once a week. So I've been listening to Heaven's River, which is the fourth book by Denis E. Taylor in the Bobaverse series, which is a series of books I really, really enjoyed. And this new one is not failing. It's really, really good. It's delivering exactly the same kind of stuff in a different way. It's very sci-fi. It's von Neumann self-replicating probes going into space. It's meeting new life forms. It's that kind of Star Trek First Contact thing. It's robots that think for themselves. It's cloning. It's being digitized. It's all this kind of stuff that's fascinating to me. So really, really enjoying that audiobook. I've listened to maybe about 2 or 3 hours this week, I think. Just sort of because I'm into it, I'm like, oh, I'll stick it on now. Or maybe I'll just stick it on. I haven't listened to it in the house again because typically I can't do it when I'm working because it's too... I can do it when I'm commuting because that's just not enough. Like, I don't walk onto the train tracks as broadly... the remit for what I have to think about when I'm getting the train. So I can generally do that and listen. But if I have to do any kind of work or type anything, I can't do the two things. So I'll probably try and finish that before Christmas. But I think one of these books would be a stretch. You know, any more than one would be a stretch out to listen to before the end of December because there's a lot in them.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, the audiobooks for that reason I find so daunting. Because I sort of download one and I look at it, it's like, oh, where am I going to find 16 hours? Where, if it's a book, I mean, it doesn't sort of, well, I mean, I suppose it could, but it doesn't present that to me. So I just go, all right, it's a book, I'll read it. And as long as it's moving along at a reasonable pace, I'll just, you know, pick up half an hour here, an hour there. But yeah, I just look at those audiobooks and go, oh no, that's a bit...
I mean, it's broadly the same thing. If you could pick up 30 minutes here and there, you'd read the book the same way.
Sure. The danger I have with audio is that audio with me, I tend to associate with multitasking. So, I listened to 4 hours of that book. What happened? No idea.
Meg does that. We listen to a podcast while we're driving. There's very few podcasts that Meg would listen to at all. And most of them would be with me. And literally every time she'll be driving and I'll be in the passenger seat. It's like, oh, what'd you think of that episode? What?
Yeah, exactly. It's just background noise. It's completely gone. No idea. They could have been talking about football and I still would have gone, yeah, okay, well, great. So I have to be careful not to do that with audiobooks because clearly it just defeats the purpose of listening to them. But I have been reading, and I'm reading two books, one of which I'm looking at now going, I can't actually remember what happened in that. So I don't know whether I've read that recently. I haven't. The Devil and the Dark Water by Stuart Turton, who was the guy with the shotgun and the camels, him. That's the fiction book that I'm reading. And for Stationary Adjacent, Justin, or the torturer, as I like to call him, directed me towards Willpower, Rediscovering Our Greatest Strength by Baumeister and Tierney, which he, in our show notes for Stationary Adjacent, described as the seminal work. I thought, oh, seminal work, better read that. It's like wading through wet leaves up to your waist.
It does sound a little textbooky. I mean, when you get some surnames like that, you know, surname and surname, immediately I'm going, there's references. There's going to be a heap of references here. They'll have done their homework and I'll have to do my homework in order to read this.
Yeah, I mean, psychologists. if you're a psychologist out there, fantastic. Well done. You get a ghostwriter or don't write a book. Just honestly, don't. So yeah, there's a load of stuff that even to me, and I'm probably more to the arts side of the spectrum than the science side. Even I'm reading this stuff going, there's some huge leaps and assumptions in this. Oh, so-and-so did this experiment, which obviously means that left-handers are better at tennis. What? I'm struggling with it, I have to say. but it's all about willpower and it touches on all those sort of tropes about decision fatigue and all of that sort of gear. And at one point the book was arguing or sort of fell upon the argument that actually what was important in this was food. You make better decisions if you're not hungry. who knew that the human body was powered by fuel? I mean, who knew? Anyway. So yeah, I've got to say I'm reading through it because I've got to talk about it tomorrow. But yeah, I'm finding a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, well, you're when doing I say your
tomorrow,
homework.
Yeah. I mean the day after 2 days. Tomorrow. Yeah. I've got 2 days now. Yay. Go me.
But you got some extra time for your homework for Justin?
Yes. Yes, yes. I mean, he's a hard, hard taskmaster.
See, next time you can actually tell him if, you know, if the dog eats your Kindle again, you can tell him, oh, sorry, sir, the dog ate my homework. He ate my homework.
I'm hoping that, you know, my mini Mac will arrive. Mini iPad will arrive and I can use that. But still no joy on that front, I'm afraid. Mm. What about drinking, TJ? What have you been drinking this week?
Well, I actually thought I would try a low-alcohol, no-alcohol beer. It's one of those weird delineations where anything below 0.5% is considered no, even though it's just low. So sure. This one was called Ghost Ship, just a low-alcohol beer. And it popped up and I went, okay, that looks nice. I've seen kegs, like, you know, those mini kegs you can get in the UK?
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of a tabletop keg. I think it's maybe 4 or 5 liters or something like that. I thought, oh, one of those might be fun at Christmas if we had people over to kind of have a little keg of beer. I better try a small bottle of it before I buy, you know, umpteen liters of it. So I had it and I probably wouldn't drink 5 liters of it. It was very hoppy. So, you know, in a really, really hoppy beer. And I have to be in the right mood because hops would be my least favorite ingredient of beer. That's the flavor profile that I don't like the most. So I quite like things like Coors Light and stuff, which don't have a lot of hops in them. They're quite smooth. From what I remember, hops are there as preservative. So, you know, we have fridges now, so we probably don't need them. But it was a good beer. It was a nice, tasty beer. I mean, I couldn't have told you that it was alcohol free compared to non-alcohol free alcohol. So it was worth it. It was worth getting. I think it was cheaper than a normal beer and it was nice. I had it on, I think it was Sunday night or something. So just sort of sat down and enjoyed it. It was lovely. Nice cold beer. I must say I should really get into more than low alcohol beers because I like drinking a beer every now and again. But the main reason I don't is because I'm work tomorrow or I've got to do that tomorrow. I don't want to, not that I wake up groggy or anything, but just because I'm like, I don't need to do it. I'd want it to be on a Friday night or a Saturday night, really. Other than that, I'm not really too interested. But if we've got a wee 0.5% or a 0%, work quite nicely on a, you know, podcast recording night.
Absolutely. I'm considering I may have one myself in a moment, to be honest. Mm. Well, not a Ghost Ship because I haven't got one of those, but a Krombacher Pils, I think, maybe in my future. Mm. What have I been drinking? Lots of water still. Throw down the water. Trying to use it as an appetite suppressant, and the occasional glass of Chateau Calypso. What have I been drinking? Xinisteri, which is the grape, and the vintner is Hagi Pavlou. Try and say that after a pint. So Hagi Pavlou Xinisteri was the white, and then a Cabernet Sauvignon is the red. So I've had a glass of wine here and there, but I've been very moderate, very good, and as previously advertised, I'm about to go and grab a beer while you tell everybody what you've been buying.
Well, I've been well under the Christmas spirit and trying to get a few Christmas presents ordered up. So we have a list sort of between us, Meg and I. So we're trying to get that ticked off. So we need this for so-and-so and we need to pick that up. And I'll order that off this site and get that. So trying to get things ticked off. The reason that we're recording on a Wednesday is that tomorrow we're going into Belfast. We're going to get some shopping. We're going to go. There's a £100 Northern Irish gift card that most people got to kind of buoy up the local economy. So you're expected to go out, try and spend at local retailers. So there's a couple of nice, amazing local retailers in Belfast that we really like, you know, local goods and handmade stuff that we want to go and try and spend a little bit of this money on. So that's our Thursday night, which is why we're recording on Wednesday night and why I bamboozled you. So I'm looking forward to getting a few more bits and pieces there. The really interesting one, I didn't buy it, although I helped buy it, I suppose. Megan got an iPhone 12.
Oh.
Now, Megan's had I think it was a Samsung S8 or S9. She's had it for a couple of years, and she's been on Samsung phones for ages. The last iPhone she would have had would have been a 4, so whenever that was. And She has an iPad. I only found out this morning that she hadn't even logged into iCloud on it. I'm not sure how one does that, but she hadn't. I was like, why is your iPad not appearing on the plan? Oh, it's not logged in. Anyway, so I had been trading in some stuff to CEX, which is a sort of electronics recycler, and they'll resell stuff and give you store credit for it, which is great. So sure. I traded in a whole bunch of old stuff and gave Meg the store credit towards a new phone, because she was like, I'll just get a better Samsung. I was like, well, darling, I have this Apple One plan. All these things work nicely together. It'd be so much more practical for me if you didn't do that. And sort of showed the pros and cons and why it would be helpful to have shared access to notes and reminders and all those things, and that she gets arcade and the, what else is there? The games, loads of stuff in there. I was like, maybe an iPhone will work. And she went, okay. She doesn't really care either way. She just wanted a phone that worked. And so went and had a look, and she came away with an iPhone 12, which is amazing, because now I'm not like, yeah, I've just made a note, I've sent it to you. I kind of look at that on my phone. Okay, well, I guess I'll update it for you. Why did I share this again? I guess, no, there's no point. So now we were doing the meal plan for next week, and it was like, I'll just add that on. Meg's already done it. Meg's added it to the shared. Megan, I didn't think it was possible to love you more, but I do. Just, oh, made my, it just swelled my little heart. It's so sad, but it's so practical having, you know, shared reminders, shared notes, things like that, and being able to have that easy to hand. Like, I've had that since I got my whole Apple ecosystem in place. That's been really helpful to me in not stressing about stuff and having things to hand. It's even better whenever your partner's on it as well, so you don't have to worry about like, oh, I sent you a thing, but can you get onto your email and then post it to there and send it through to this and share it on that so you can view it on this? It just works, which is nice. So that was very exciting. Meg was less excited by it than I was. I was like, this is so cool. Here's this. There's this. She's like, yeah, it's a phone. It does phone things.
Exactly. Yeah. These normal people. I don't know how we get along with them, to be honest.
Well, there needs to be one normal one in the relationship, or else it would all crumble, I think. So it's probably better that she's the normal one.
Here we go. This explains a lot. Well, I haven't been buying anything particularly. Lots of Nero's stock, because obviously it's that time of year. It's all just fantastically entertaining now because of all the supply chain problems. You sort of get in touch with people and they're like, yep, no problem. Brilliant. Yeah, no, we can give you, yeah, Stuart, it's you. We can give you a discount. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Brilliant. Okay, so we're all sorted then. Yep, that'll be with you next April.
Oh, no. Oh, can we just clarify the year real quick?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, everybody's struggling, bless them. You know, just tiny sort of innocuous parts that you wouldn't even think of are just impossible for people to get.
It's just
the way the world is right now. So it's entertaining, it's fun. Everybody is going to experience it this year. And I suspect that people are going to be much more focused on experiences and family and togetherness this year because of what we've all been through, which is, you know, great. I'm all for that. And I'm watching Amazon with interest. Have you seen that today?
Visa?
The Amazon Visa standoff. Yeah.
I suppose that's a particular interest to someone in the money trade yourself.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the credit card companies do make a lot of money, apparently for not doing terribly much. So things like interchange fees and all that stuff. But, you know, it's difficult to sort of get behind Amazon as the champion of business, because, you know, Amazon sort of gets away with quite a lot as well. So, interesting. So if you haven't been following, Amazon has... Or certainly Amazon UK has said it will no longer take Visa payments because it's unhappy with the terms it's getting from Visa.
Is Visa credit, though? I think Visa debit's okay.
Yeah, well, the charging routines are different. Excuse me. So, yeah, it's the charges around credit cards, and I think the conditions on chargebacks and, you know, all the usual guff. It's interesting. Clearly, it's a space in which I'm involved. So, interesting. stock for Neros. Still waiting for my iPhone.
And your iPad.
and my iPad, but that's from a different store. So heaven knows if, when, maybe either of those will come.
April 2024.
Well, exactly. It's, you know, I'm looking at it as just another element of the surprise. Some anticipation. It'll turn up at some point. Quoting. Give me a quote.
So I thought, given that we're talking about internet stuff today, I've got two, both very different from each other. The problem with quotes found on the internet is that they are often not true. Abraham Lincoln. And then, on a more serious note, we can't blame the technology when we make the mistake. That's by Tim Berners-Lee, the man who invented the internet.
Indeed, yes. All right, very good. I had some quite sort of internet-y ones, and then I was listening to some music, so I thought, you know what, I'll do some music.
Fair
So this is Matt Johnson, lead singer of The, who wrote, "I'm crippled by guilt, blinded by science. I've been waiting for tomorrow all of my life." Which is from Waiting for Tomorrow by The. Great song. Go and listen to some The. Soul Mining. Great album. Right then, parish notices.
Oh, the only thing I had that was interesting is that we're sort of finalizing what we're going to talk about in next episode, which is episode 200, which is very exciting. I created a show note today, which I'll share with you later today, but I managed to find my old drafts of the 1857 branding.
Wow.
So yeah, and not all of them are 1857. Spoiler alert. So I've put them in the chat and we can discuss them. We'll also post them in the Slack for people to see. So if you want to see these, you got to be in the Slack, but they're interesting. And I'm looking forward to a little bit of a retrospective over 199 episodes. So that'll be interesting. And then I came across a brilliant word, which I thought might be useful. Certainly it describes something I think I've experienced. Anemoia, A-N-E-M-O-I-A. Nostalgia for a time you've never experienced. Which I thought was
I'm going to guess that's going to be from the Greek. That's got to be from the Greek.
I think it perhaps is a bit of an invented term because it's not on the normal dictionaries. It's one of these, I think it's dictionaryofobscuresorrows.com. I'm not sure. I'm not sure anything about the website, but it's what popped up. And I don't know where I came across it on an article or something. I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. But certainly the nostalgia for a time you've never experienced. I get that a lot when I think of, or when I watch stuff in the 50s and 60s, I'm like, oh, the cars are so cool and the music's amazing and the architecture, there's so much there. You know, you watch a show like Mad Men, like, oh, it's so cool. You don't think about the terrible things that happened in those times, but you sort of romanticize the cool elements. But yeah, it's an interesting idea to be nostalgic for something that you never experienced.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I'll remember the word, but hopefully you'll keep it in the show notes and we'll find
it'll
it
be there. It'll be there. What about you?
We're off to court the day after this releases. Margaret received a summons. The Cypriots are very dramatic about this. So she is a witness in a case. So you get a court server turns up. In our case, it was stood very obediently at the gate while I walked down the drive and went, "What? Give me a piece of paper." And that was us served. But it's to do with the attack on Nero, which was three and a bit years ago.
Oh, wow.
Well, all right, it was 3 years, 1 month, and 1 day. Not that I'm counting. And that's when we lost him, in fairness. But yes, there's a prosecution going on about the person responsible for the dog. It's nothing to do with us. It's being done by the police, but Margaret is clearly a witness. So I have to stand there. And people think I'm there sort of just looking, giving evil looks to this man. I'm not. I'm trying to protect him from the anger of my wife. So not exactly a jolly day, but hopefully it will sort of close that whole circle for Margaret because she still has nightmares about it now.
Yeah.
I suppose other than that, I've been doing a bit of work on the website. Perhaps we can talk about that after Gerald.
I think we might be able to rustle up a thing or two about that.
Gerald, take it away.
This is the 3-pin plug. Hi, I've decided to mix it up a little. I'm feeling like exercising my creative license. How do you like my range of accents?
The first pin is Stuart Lennon. You can buy his collection of reasonably priced notebooks and stationery supplies at nerosnotes.co.uk. You can read his writings on writing at stuartlennon.com. If you want to see photos of his dogs, Spice and Charlie, you can follow him on Instagram at stuart.lennon587. The second pin is TJ Cosgrove. He created Wood and Graphite, a collection of over 150 short films on pencils, paper and other collected analog ephemera. You can watch it on YouTube by searching Wood and Graphite. If you like looking at photos of coffee, keyboards and a black Labrador called Blue, you can follow him on Instagram at team_Cosgrove. The third pin in the three-pin plug is this show, 1857. You can support the show by leaving a review on iTunes, or the podcatcher of your choice, the efficacy of which is debatable, or by sharing with someone you think would enjoy it. Perhaps even nip over to nerosnotes.co.uk and pick up a few lovely notebooks or fancy pencils. It all helps to cover the cost of hosting. The three-pin plug is brought to you by me, Gerald, a totally normal human being.
Definitely real and corporeal, for sure.
Thanks for listening. Back to the show.
I've heard rumblings of he wants to unionize, he wants a new contract, he wants, you know, I'm not sure, you know, Gerald may not make it into the new shiny 1858. I don't know.
Well, I mean, people I don't think realize that, you know, it was a large part of the decision was was the threats from Gerald, wasn't it?
We just couldn't stomach the retainer anymore. You know, he wants 40,000 blue M&Ms in a jar. He wants the hot tub heated to exactly 43.4 degrees. It's just unreasonable.
Yeah, well, that's what happens, you know, when people hit the big time as Gerald has. I mean, he's working for HMRC. He's working for at least four ransomware companies that I'm aware of.
Oh, he's probably making an appearance in Mr. Robot at some stage as well.
He may well turn up, I would imagine, yeah. Right, so what are we talking about tonight, TJ?
Well, you, and probably not just you, but certainly I've got the email from you, launched your new Nero's Notes website the other day, and I eagerly clicked through to have a little look around. My goodness, you've done some spring cleaning. It's much brighter, it's much cleaner, it's much friendlier. I'm very happy with it. I'm very excited about it. And I thought, given that, you know, we both dance around websites or are involved tangentially in websites, and we both use Markdown, which, let's not forget, was made to write HTML, I thought it might be interesting to talk about websites, and specifically the Nero's one, because I think there's an awful lot more that went into it than people suspect to get it to where it is now. So I think there's a lot of interesting stuff that I'd like to find out. So, yeah, websites.
Sure. Websites. Okay, well, thank you for liking it. And if you haven't been there, everybody, go at www.nerosnotes.co.uk, and you will be smacked in the face by a fantastic mascot who appears all over the place, and I think is largely responsible for that sort of friendly feeling that TJ is alluding to. And he is... he's incidental to the change. We weren't looking to do a new mascot. We weren't looking to do a new logo. I wanted to upgrade the website because of the taxonomy, which is a posh way of saying the way it's organized. And I wrote in the email that I, or the post that I wrote for the launch, that perhaps one of the greatest joys of stationery is the vast array of options that you have, that we have. So, I mean, if you just think about, I don't know, Tombow pencils, you can have HB, F, and then H 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then B 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And you can have that in several different types of pencil. So you very, very quickly get to massive, massive ranges. So we try and keep it very, very tight at Nero's. We try not to go off on too many tangents, which is rich coming from me, I know. But in the 4 years that I've had Nero's, we have gone up to now about 1,200 SKUs.
Oh, wow.
And that's trying to keep it tight. Imagine if I'd let myself rip. And the site, it was really difficult to find anything. The bottom line is, if you knew exactly what you wanted, if you're TJ and you're going, do you know what? I fancy a Tombow 4B. He could come in, type in Tombow 4B, boom, there it is. If you were, well, not TJ, not me, but just a normal person, then I wanted you to be able to come to the site and go, oh, this is interesting. Let me have a little look around here. I wanted you to be able to browse, to have a journey, to mosey about the place and go, oh, that's quite interesting. Oh, I quite like big notebooks. Let me have a look at big notebooks and make it very non-jargony, very simple, very friendly for people to use. So that's what drove the change. And then I sat down, as you might expect, with a notebook and a pencil and went, I've got no idea how to do this. Because there's a million and one ways to skin this particular cat. Do you categorize around size? Do you categorize around paper type or ruling? Do you categorize around use cases? You can categorize it a lot of different ways. And you can very quickly work very hard to make everything even more complicated than it was.
No, sorry, sir. You need to pick one of each of the 57 drop-down boxes before we will show you any notebooks.
Exactly. Yeah, that was, I did come up with a prototype or two that resembled that statement.
And the gauntlet of drop-downs.
So, yeah, exactly. I was chatting away with a friend of the show, friend of the stationery world, Enon Abital, who is the man behind Dapper Notes. So he's the guy that actually makes everything at Dapper Notes. But Dapper Notes is his side hustle. While he's not doing that, he does a whole load of sort of things around design, around web design, around, well, I suppose, around brand marketing. I mean, he's a man of many, many talents. And if you go to dappernotes.com, you'll see all of those talents just beautifully displayed. And he said, I can help you with that. So we got our lawyers together and thrashed out a contract where he said, yeah, I'll just give you a hand, it's fine. And I'd like to stress, I have not paid Enon a cent. And he has done an enormous amount of work. Just putting up with me, let alone the actual work. And
just
so he came
guy.
Up with the tech. Yeah, oh, he's a fantastic guy. And he came up with the taxonomy, which is really what makes the site work. And we sort of to'd and fro'd, worked out where everything would live. And the idea is that in the perfect world, every product that we have will have one tag. It will have one place where it lives. But there will be a logical and sensible way to find your way to it. So that's what drove it all. And to a large extent, with one big caveat that I'm going to get to in a minute, we got there. I'm really pleased with how that's shaping up. I think it's going to change again. So if you're listening to this, it may already have changed by the time you get to it. Because we came up against one of those wonderful sort of web design issue problems that we can talk about later. But as we were doing all that, Enon's a very understated sort of guy. So he just said to me, he said, oh, have you seen, some of the stuff? Oh, he said, no, you haven't. I haven't released it. Let me share you something with Slack, which is Enon's way of saying, stand by, stand by, stand by. I'm going to deluge you. And a whole load of stuff. And some really nice sort of mascots. Oh, wow. That's really cool. Said, yeah, you should talk to the guy that did that. Okay. Boom, 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 boom. Yep, wait, I'll just email, introduction, boom, make it happen. So I had a Zoom call with a guy called Manny Aguilera in Miami. So geographically, stick with me, okay? We've got the guy in Cyprus, and Claire in Amesbury, down at Stonehenge, talking to Enon over in New Jersey, and now we're bringing in Miami. So, as you do, because I mean that's what British-based stationery companies need, really. And
hold on, I'm going to just go to the Miami Design Center. We just need to quickly get a little graphic done. What size is this company?
I'm chatting away with Manny, who's an illustrator. He has a full-time illustrating position and then does sort of, you know, side work as well. And we talked about Nero and what Nero meant to me and what I wanted Nero's notes to mean. And he got it, you know, he understood. And he went away and started doing some sort of draft ups for me. And came back with some stuff that made me cry. Because if you've listened to this podcast enough, you'll know that I was very, very fond of Nero. And in many ways, I credit him with most of the positive things in my life come from my dogs. They teach me how to live, okay, to be energetic, to be excited, to be interested, just to do everything with commitment. That's what dogs do. And Nero is an amazing dog. And I wanted that to come through into Nero's notes. And Nero's notes, for me, should be about being inquisitive. And it should be about enjoying beauty for beauty, for enjoying a notebook for the way that it feels, for enjoying a pen for the way that it makes you feel. All of those things. It shouldn't be complicated. It shouldn't be difficult. It's fun. And he embodied all that in a mascot. And so I'm just like, yeah, okay, fantastic. Yeah. Go to work. Get to work immediately. Do you have any guidelines for me? No. Do what you do. And so he did what he did. I remember the day I'd assumed that he was going to do some work that would then go to Enon, who would then sort of stick some pictures into bits of the website and there we go. And then Enon sent me through. You'll know this, TJ. You've probably seen one of these before. There is a thing called a brand book.
Yep,
you've heard talk of these mystical beings?
Like right. the sort of the Bible for this is how your company's going to look now.
Yeah, and, you know, bearing in mind that I was not paying Manny a lot of money, and I was paying, you know, my favourite price, I think, and suddenly this thing came through. And I went, oh. And I've just opened up so I've got a zip file, okay, and it says badges, that's a folder, icons, that's a folder, logos, that's a folder, and patterns, that's a folder. And then there's a little PDF there. Now I know what PDFs are, so I thought, oh well, I'll open that. And again, almost fell off my chair. All right, so the amount of care and work and dedication that's gone into this just blows me away. So I'll probably release pages of this sort of over the weeks that come on the website. But there's the wonderful sort of Nero supine writing in a notebook type logo with brand guidelines 2021, and then color variations. I'm like, color variations? I've got color on light background, color on dark background, black and white on dark background, black and white on light background, color on light photo background, color on dark photo background. I'm like, wow. And then we get on to layout variations, where I've got the stacked logo, which that's 4A for everybody that's keeping notes, and then the badge lockup, which is 4B. And then we go to the icon, 5A, 5B, 5C, 5D, 5E, and 5F. So if you look at my Twitter account, or Nero's Twitter account, that's a different icon from the Facebook account, which is different again from Instagram, because we are fancy. So, all right, at this point, I think, oh, guys, you've really outdone yourself. This is amazing. And then there's this big section, typography. Like, what? I'm thinking, oh no, I'm in trouble here, because A, I don't know what typography is, and B, I wouldn't know where to find it. But there's fonts for all the titles, for the body, for the sub-body. There's light, regular, medium. And these aren't, you know, this isn't Calibri or Arial. This is... Enon gave me a choice. He said, okay, here are three different font sets. And I want you to have a look through and see which ones you like. And so we haven't had a font made for us, but we are using a specific font that's been made by a specific person, a real person that exists. I'm just blown away by this because it's never even occurred to me to do these things. And I'm going to write a blog post about it, which is why I don't want to share too much detail about that now.
But... No. I'm looking forward to that. It's amazing what good design can do. It can elevate anything to a level that it would not have been able to reach otherwise. And I love that about design. I love that about making things visually clear. And it doesn't matter what you're trying to achieve. You can make it visually clear with good design. And that could be that you want the brand to feel friendly, or you want it to feel intelligent, or you want it to feel warm. Pick any adjective, pick any verb. You can make it feel that way with the right design. And that's kind of the magic of it. Like, there's an awful lot in the technical side of, like, how do you make the HTML work? How do you make this do that? How do you make that picture, that photograph look well? But then there's this sort of this layer on top of thoughtful design and thoughtful creativity to kind of, it's the glue, it's the cohesiveness that brings it all together to be this thing. So you go from, you know, some shades of blue, a few letters, and, you know, a picture of a dog, and all of a sudden you go, oh, well, that's Nero. That's Nero's Notes. That's the brand.
Hey, hang on, a few shades of blue. Do you mean Nero's Dawn blue? Or are you perhaps referring to Nero's Sunset blue? Because there is also a Nero's Midday blue, alongside Nero's Midnight Black, Nero's Sunrise, Nero's Grey.
So the ink range, when's that coming out? The exclusive Nero's Notes ink range?
I'm not quite sure whether to do the colours or in fact go for the alternate hues, which I have hex codes, Pantones, you know, all of that good jazz. I have all that. I have no idea what any of it means, TJ, but I have it all. It was absolutely, so it blew me away. And then the design of the site, sort of, once you've got the taxonomy, i.e. how everything is going to be organized, and then this sort of look and feel, then to me, I think it's all quite simple. Until I actually saw it in place, I thought, this isn't simple at all, because everything has to be considered. And Enon does all that, so I'm just quietly in the background, and comes to someone like me and says, okay, you know, do you like A or B? Now, A is the culmination of, you know, tens of hours of work. B is the culmination of tens of hours of work. And he's got a very strong idea which one is right. And I'm just there going, well, this looks amazing. I'm thinking I'll take either. Fantastic. And as you say, the whole sort of look and feel of the site then comes together from that. I'm delighted with that whole side of things. I think has gone brilliantly. It's a great refresh. I think it lifts up the brand a little bit more. It helps people understand what we're trying to be about. And the other thing that we've tried to do is bring community a lot further forward. So buying guide, sort of, there are seven main items across the top of the site. Sort of menu items, and two of those are sort of blog posts. There's Paw Prints, which is sort of our ongoing news and review feed, and then there's Buying Guides, which is going to be sort of larger, more in-depth articles where, you know, if Meg wanted to buy TJ something, she could come to the Buying Guide and, you know, a normal person's guide to stationery nonsense. That's, you know, that's going to be one of the guides. But if you want to look at pencils, or if you want to look at guides of a certain, gifts of a certain price and that type of thing. So that's inspired us to to get going on that. And, you know, I'm very lucky. I've got Amanda, Scrib, and now Eddie Hope. Those three write regularly for Nero's now. Occasionally I even write something. So we've got four different voices coming in. And we want to be a place of where people can come for a bit of expertise, for a bit of knowledge, or even just a bit of opinion, just to find out what, you know. Now, what is all the hullabaloo about field notes?
That's coming up for it. It's the joy of it, though. Like, one of the best bookshops I've ever been in, the sort of proprietor recommends me a book almost every time I go in. And that's why I go back. Not because they've got the biggest range, not because they're the cheapest, but because every time I go in, I have a good chat and he tells me a book I should read and I read it and it's great.
Yeah.
That's why people go into shops. That's how small businesses work, I guess, is that, like, you're not trying to be Amazon. You're not trying to be Waterstones. You're trying to be Nero's, and you're trying to be a community around Nero's, which is the joy of it. You know, there's so many parts of the stationery community that are wonderful. And it's one of those rare little oases in the oasi. What's the plural? Oases.
Oases with an E rather than an I. I'm going to guess.
It's one of those rare oases in the drought of the internet, the sort of dry, sometimes quite acrid internet. There's these little pockets of sunshine where people are nice to each other just because they can be, not because they have to be. And that's been my experience in, you know, the Erasable group. It's been my experience on Nero's. It's been my experience on the Instagram and things like that around stationery. People just tend to be lovely. I think it's such a lovely thing to have that be the core, have that be the heart of Nero's, is that it's not about, oh, this is a pencil place for pencil people. You wouldn't get it. Like, yeah, we're super into these. And yeah, it's a bit weird. But if you want to come in, there's some you could try. And that's what people want if they're just starting out in an interest or a hobby or something, to have really enthusiastic and knowledgeable people go, this is really cool. You should try this. What do you think of that? Immediately, sure. Like, because that was my entrance to this whole thing, was the Erasable guys were like that for me. And there was several people on the Facebook group and on, you know, different Instagram things and stuff who were just that lovely and just reached out and sent me things and chatted to me. And that's what got me started in this whole thing, because people were just lovely. And I think that's brilliant. I'm so glad that it's continuing in Nero's.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've been very, very lucky to get, you know, the help from Enon, and then the sort of that level of expertise where you can sit and say, okay, well, this is kind of what I'd like it to be, but I don't know how to make it that.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, we could do this and we could do that. And, well, maybe we could do this. And the snag we've hit, I mean, we've got a couple of snags. One is I'm a lark. Okay. So I'm at my most creative early in the morning. And Enon is a night owl. And he's at his most creative in the evening. And we've got a 7-hour time difference. And so trying to sort of coincide a time, we're both slightly out of our comfort zone whenever we can get on our call together.
You need to become nocturnal.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just, okay, so the Venn diagram, oh, no, that's not good. That's not a good time.
There's 4 minutes at solstice when we're both firing on all cylinders. After that, it all goes to pot.
Yeah, and, you know, sort of in the background, you know, it's got a full-time job, a family, and, you know, a very successful side business as well as, you know, an idiot in Cyprus going, do you think we could change that to pink?
I mean, Nero's breath.
Well, the website is built on Shopify 2.0.
Yeah.
So Shopify is the big e-commerce platform. I'm sure people have heard of it. We've used it since the start. And Shopify 2.0, I didn't even know it had happened. So my themes were on Shopify 1.0, and they were fine. They were a bit messy. And you add to that Nero's has been run by, I know how to turn a computer on. I mean, I even write in Markdown, TJ, I'll tell you. And I am, that's about the limit of my expertise. Okay. So I'm not techie by any stretch of the imagination. I, on the other hand, make or Claire makes me look like a genius. So Claire looks at her computer with a deep amount of suspicion. She sees it as a bit of a dust trap, but it is quite good at holding down paper on the desk. That's broadly what a computer does. And so tags, order, variance, consistency, none of those things apply to anything on Neros. So, for example, for rulings, we had paper style, paper type, page type, ruling. No. And then in the actual rulings, we had ruled, lined, plain, blank, dot grid, grid, graph. And Enon said, he very sort of kind of looked at it all, and he'd clearly been inside, you know, in the back end of Shopify. And he said, yeah, tags. And I went, yeah. He said, we kind of need some consistency around tags.
Can we just put all of these in the circular file? And by that, I mean the bin.
Yeah. So if you just check Slack, I thought, oh, here we go. And then there's a link to Google Drive. And let's have a look. The 5-page tagging Bible, known as Neros Notes Product Tagging. And this is what I love about it. Subtitle 1, How To. This is a 2-step process. Tagging products will be super similar to how you've done filter tagging until now. Step 1, stew. And it really is. I mean, my phrase for it is it's boomer proof. Okay, so here we go. Do this, you halfwit, and we've got a fighting chance of getting it done. And so, because of the aforementioned 1,200 products, mucking about with product tags is a big undertaking. One that I, to be honest, deftly avoided for many, many months. However, eventually we had to bite the bullet and get it done. And there's all sorts of things that we're doing around product descriptions that, you know, aren't ready for launch, but will over the coming months happen. And so changed all the tagging so that it would be consistent, so that if, you know, you can go to notebooks and you can say, right, notebooks, I only like dot, so only show me dot. Because you've got all these tags up, you can do that. Except in Shopify 2.0, filters are done through options or a thing called meta tagging. Meta tagging is so new, nobody knows how to do it. But anyway, Neros products are set up to be filtered by tag. So the products work on tags, the website works on filters.
Oh dear.
Oh.
So you're looking at potentially re-adding 1,200 products?
Well, the weird thing is the way that Shopify have set it up. If you think of t-shirts, right? If you've got the red 1857 t-shirt, you will have it in small, medium, large, extra large, double extra large. And those sizes will be options. And because those sizes will be consistent with all your other t-shirts, you can use those as a filter. So you can have small, medium, large, extra large, double XL as filters. Great, fantastic. What if you've got a one size t-shirt? So you have a t-shirt that only comes in one option. So the way it works in Shopify is that you would set up the t-shirt and you would say, this is one size. Or you'd set up the other t-shirt and say, this comes in 5 sizes. And those 5 sizes are options. What that means is that on the filtering, the 5 different options for the 1857 t-shirt will show up. But the one size t-shirt won't show up because it doesn't have any options.
Oh, no.
So what that means is if I was setting up, let's say, a Dapper note, which is a unique notebook that comes out Every couple of months, there's an edition. It's a one-off. There's, you know, a certain amount of pieces of it made, but there's only one ruling. I would have to set up the product and then set up the product again as an option of the product so that it can show in the filters. And there's no, in some things in Shopify, there's a bulk edit sort of facility where you can get a list of things. So tags, for example, I could get things listed and you can't edit them all together, but you can edit it reasonably efficiently if you don't mind doing the same thing 1,000 times. So I'm sorry. I really, really don't want to do that, Enon. Please, Enon, I don't want to do that. Please. And he's like, yeah, this is kind of weird. I don't understand what's going on here. Because it was just one of those things that he hadn't seen coming and I hadn't seen coming.
Yeah.
Because Shopify, one, works on, you know, tagging works, sorry, filters work on tags. And so, and so it was like, okay, well, let's both just retreat to have a wee think about this.
So is there there's no database storing all this, or is it storing, how are you editing each individual product?
Laboriously, mostly.
Is it like so, a little, like window that you have with all the details filled in?
You can multi-edit. So I can bring up 400. I can bring up everything that's got the notebook tag. And I can see its price, its SKU, you know, all on one sort of table. And I still have to edit each field in the table that I want to change, but I can do it in a sort of tabular format. To do the options that we were just talking about, making, you know, the option of the product, I would have to go into each product description, generate a new, I mean, we're talking for, let's say, a field note that might come in 3 rulings. I would have to go into the product and then generate 3 options within the product. Put in descriptions, SKU, price, weight, all of those things. So, you know, if you get really, really good at it, because you're going to be doing it 1,000 times, you'll be pretty good by the end. You're probably still talking 5 or 6 minutes ago. So that very quickly becomes a lot of minutes. As well as
7,000 minutes. What's that in real money? Oh my goodness. Hold on. I have a calculator. What am I doing? I'm looking up. This is the 21st century for you. I'm flicking down on my phone to search calculator when I have an actual physical calculator sitting here. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what this is for. So 6 minutes times 1,200. 72,000 minutes divided by 60 is 120 hours. Divided by 24 is 5 days. Just 5 easy days.
What, 5 24-hour days?
Yeah. I mean, at least a small
brief. That's 15 days if you do an 8-hour shift.
No. Hold on. So, if you do 24-hour days, there'll be a brief window when Inan can come on and sort of talk through in fine form while you're like, I'm still going. I'm still typing.
Day 3 in the Big Brother house. So that's one option that we're exploring. And then I was, you know, kicking some stuff around. There are, you know, ways and means around this. The meta tagging is one. And on being a little bit TJ-esque as far as, oh, something new, Cody. Oh, let me go and have a look at that. And then there's me, sort of operations manager-esque, going, no, hang on. There's got to be a workaround here. All right. Right. Somebody bring me some elastic bands.
Duct tape. Yeah, WD-40.
Exactly. And I think that my sort of duct tape and elastic band solution might be one of those wonderful accidents where you go, oh, hang on. That's kind of what people want. So the way I've been looking at it is, okay, can I create collections from tags, which I can, and then I can show collections in a menu, which I can. So what about if I made notebooks a separate menu and underneath it I had small notebooks, dot, small notebooks, lined, small notebooks. So I've got a whole load of options that all appear on one mega menu. So it's boomer proof again. It's like, okay, I want big and I want blank. There it is. Hit that, they're all the big blanks. I don't have to do a drop down. I don't have to filter. this is something that Claire and Stu can use.
All I'm thinking about is that there's some JavaScript you could write here that you could go, just fill in this. So you ask maybe 6 or 7 questions, and then you go, here's your perfect notebook, you know? And you can just go, do you like this or this, or that or that, or those?
Oh,
or
sure,
those?
Yeah. I mean, you can do that. You can do Boolean searching and all that sort of stuff. I think that's the right word, Boolean, is it? Boolean? Bodleian? I can't remember. But I'm trying to make something that's going to sort of take you by the hand if you're not a stationary person, and if you're not, you know, terribly familiar with websites. I have a lot of customers. We're really lucky in the demographics. We serve people in every decade of their lives. So, you know, we have teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s who come to the website. And with varying degrees of competence, I have to say. And because Claire and I are right at the bottom end of that competence, we're able to sort of say, well, you know, where do people struggle? And so that might actually, I mean, I don't know the technical side of it. Ian and I have to go through together, but a solution will be found. And within Shopify, you can write in, I think it's called Liquid, which I assume is, I don't know, JavaScript after a beer or something. I have no idea. But
I've heard of it. Let me look. I'll look that up.
You can make it do all these funky type things. But you know what I'm keen to avoid doing is sort of delivering a huge problem into Elon's lap saying, solve that. And he's thinking, oh my God, did I ever speak to this guy? And also, you know, if we can avoid redoing every single product, because we're already undertaking to rewrite all the product descriptions to standardize them, because we've got sort of 4 years worth of varying logic, you know, never written down, never processed, you know, so what should we write here? Which is why we have, you know, some notebooks that are dot, some that are dot grid, some that are grid dot.
Yeah.
And so this is a big sort of exercise that will, you know, stand us in good stead for the future too. So yeah, I'm sure we will come to a solution that works really well. And it's exciting to be looking at the options and going, oh, well, we could do that and we could do this. But as I say, I'm just really keen to make sure the poor old Enon isn't there sort of holding his head in his hands going, oh my God.
Why?
I am now custom building a website for this idiot. I just, you know, that's too much. But hopefully we will have something that is really, really easy to use, because I think, I know that that's been one of the things that's been holding the business back, is that occasionally I'll do an Instagram post and 6 people will come to me and go, I didn't know you stocked those. Thinking, well, they've been on the website for 12 months.
Yeah.
But
at a certain point you're like, well, they can't find it. Not that they're not looking, they can't find it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not their fault. So, you know, trying to find a way that I can just make that visibility easier and better and tie it in with a better sort of social policy and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, no, we're really, really excited. Although there was a moment yesterday when I was really, really not so excited, because Ian and I worked on the site on Sunday night. We took it down. And once again, he said, right, this is what you need to do. You do that. I'm going to be doing something else. And we were on a Zoom call. So, you know, we could sort of give each other commentary as we were going along, working through the various things and let's test this and let's do that and boom, boom, boom. And then, it was pretty, it must've been about 12:30 my time. And and I said, and Mazel Tov, you've got a new website. I was like, way, we're live. Fantastic. Brilliant. And then I got up in the morning and went, oh, because I was then finishing off tagging in the morning. I started, oh, hang on. That's not, oh, that, oh. And so then I'm messaging Anon, who's, you know, in bed. you know, had a family commitment when he was getting out of bed, and he's getting, you know, getting bombarded on Slack by me. I'm like, oh no, I've got to do this. Oh, I've got to do that. I was feeling very, very worried about it all then. and just spent the morning sort of fretting about it. And what I love is customers. One of the first customers to come onto the new site broke it. Absolutely fabulous. And it was something that had been tested 3 times. So a key part of our business in Neuros is subscriptions, where people can quarterly subscribe to notebooks. And we have four subscriptions. There are 3 Neuros ones and 1 Dapper Notes, the Bookhead Club, which is an annual subscription. And subscriptions are handled within Shopify. You can do it lots of ways, but the way that we do it is through a third-party app called Bold, which is a Shopify app. You pay a monthly fee, blah, blah, blah. And Bold is, well, it's a little bit Canadian, you know, it's very, very polite, but a bit awkward. And what happens when I see my order sheet on Neuros Notes, I will see 10 orders, and some of them will have a funny little symbol next to them, which means this came from Bold. It's a subscription. And this customer came on, he's a regular customer, someone, you know, that we know very well. He's been very kind to us, and he's come on and he's ordered a subscription. Brilliant. Somehow he has turned our subscription into a one-off purchase. I am on the website for an hour trying to replicate that. I couldn't. I ended up with about 26 subscriptions myself, but I could not replicate buying it as a one-off. I still, to this day, well, to this moment, don't know how we did it.
That's the joy of a website, Stu, is that every time you think you know everything it can do, you're wrong. It can do more.
I said to you know, what are we going to do? He said, well, I've turned it off. I said, so turn what off? He said, well, everything. Just across the site. I've turned that off. I've turned that off. I've turned that off. Well, which one of them is it? I don't know. Okay, good. Right, fine. As long as we know. So, yes, I'm expecting a few more of those as well. Just... Websites.
Yeah.
So you're going into web design, TJ? Is this going to be a new career?
No, I mean, I am writing some JavaScript and some HTML and some CSS as part of my work that I'm doing at the minute. And I did this years ago, right? When I was in school, I would have done a little bit of HTML. And it was very different then, but the building blocks were the same. And I do actually really enjoy sort of figuring out how these things go together. And so in the last couple of years, I've really dived deep on web design stuff and tried to learn enough to get by on things, enough to be competent or at least capable of holding a conversation. And the magic of it for me is that it's all small bits doing very simple things. It's just whenever you get sort of a tidal wave of small things doing simple things, you go, whoa, that's smart. I don't know how I did that. Because it's all these little Lego bricks of content or Lego bricks of capability doing their own little bit. And so, you know, first time I wrote a login page from scratch, and I was like, okay, well, that's an input box, and then that goes there, and then that goes into there, and that needs to check the database. And you sort of build these little pieces up bit by bit, and you went, oh, well, that's all it's doing. And then you go on to any website, and you're like, oh, it's just that and that and that. Now, some of it's more complex. There's definitely more security things going on. There's all these things happening in the back end. But broadly speaking, it's boxes and letters shoehorned into various shapes. And it's kind of magical when you see that you can, with enough understanding, sort of shepherd those into different forms in ways that will make websites interesting and useful. And yeah, it's a really exciting website. It's one of those ones that I'm writing a lot of Python at the minute, which is fun because it's a straightforward language. It's not a fast language, but it's straightforward. Web design is more immediate and more visual. So, mm-hmm. I mean, most of the Python that I'm writing is all command line. So I write it, and then if it works, nothing happens. Or you get a small line in the terminal that says, yes, that thing did it. Or you get a little file pops up somewhere with the text result you wanted. Whenever you're doing web design, you know, you may be working on a live server on your development thing. So whenever you save, it will refresh and show you the change. So you're like, oh, we'll make this background Nero's Dawn blue. Boop. Oh, yeah, looks good. Yeah, I like that. Ooh, maybe that should be. And then you start, you know, it's closer for me to Illustrator or something where I'm just physically drawing or illustrating or putting things together. So it's it is magical and I do really enjoy it, but it's a beast unto itself in terms of the rabbit hole you can fall down with the complexity. So I totally understand and respect the mammoth task that Enon has with the website, with trying to sort of corral. And it's not even like starting on a fresh blank canvas. It's starting with a very nice painting. And you're like, well, this could be in a better frame. Let's just, I just got to tick that off. And then, you know, you're trying to fit it, all this stuff that's pre-existing and can't really change that much into a new frame or a new box or whatever. And there's always going to be something that doesn't quite fit or doesn't quite work. So it's much harder than just starting fresh with no products and slowly adding them. You're kind of, well, no, the website can't go down. None of the products can go off. And it all has to look roughly the same, but totally different. Okay, cool. Let me just do that overnight. No problem. There's an awful lot in it. And I feel for him trying to get that together. And I know that there's been lots of people helping. And I think that's great and a real testament to, again, the stationery community and the wonderful people in it.
Yeah, no, it's been a huge learning experience for me so far. And I say there are things that, you know, I want to tweak and change and improve. And but, you know, in large part, that the website is up. It is running. You know, people are buying stuff from it.
Looks great.
The mechanics are going. And yeah, it looks absolutely fabulous. And people who've been, you know, customers for years go, oh, I didn't know you sold those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pencils.
Yeah, this is kind of backing up why we're here. But yeah, I mean, I'm on the site now, and I'm literally keep stopping it. Oh, look, there's another Nero's mascot. Oh, another Nero's logo. Oh, that's the light blue with the dark. Oh yeah, I like that one. It's just, yeah, there's so much fun to be had here. I mean, I want to buy stuff.
Yeah, like, oh, you just need to move back to England for a short while, and you'll be like, I own all this. This is mine. No, Stu, that's stock. You're like, no, it's my collection, and you may have it by right of my kindness.
Yeah, in fact, there has been a fair amount of that. I mean, I'm just looking now at the sort of the main menu. So brands is the fifth one along, and if you just hover over brands, you see the size of the task. There are 70 something brands there. Enon's literally had to make A to E, F to L, M to P, and R to Z because there are so many of them. But this to me is what I call a boomer menu, because, you know, it's open and I go, okay, I want Moleskine. There it is. Click that. Oh, look, there's everything by Moleskine. Perfect. it's idiot. My mum can use this. And she, you know, she doesn't like the internet very much, but she could use this. And that's really what I want to get to, is a place where, you know, if you want to come and have a look for something, you can find it. And if you don't know what you want to look for, then you can get into buying guides and read about what you might be looking for. Yeah.
And so how do you see it in the future? This is kind of Nero's 2.0. How do you see, I mean, obviously probably beyond the horizons for now, but like, where's it going to go? What's next? What's the challenges going forward?
Well, the challenges going forward are Nero's is close to a point, an inflection point, where we will need to register for VAT. So at the moment, we are under the threshold for VAT, which is 85,000 a year or something like that. When you're turnover is going to go above that number, then you have to register for VAT and you have to start charging customers VAT. But the sort of flip side of that is that I don't have to pay suppliers VAT. So there's a differential there where, you know, I make less profit per notebook, but we're talking at a larger scale and, you know, hopefully those things can even themselves out. It creates a lot more admin. But in our new post-Brexit world, it would also mean that I can register as a European VAT center. So I can collect VAT for France, for Germany, for Spain, whatever, which will make things better for European customers again, who currently are, you know, living the old British life of, oh, there's a ransom note in the post from HMRC, you know. That will be the next sort of big challenge for us. Right now, along with every other business thing, what we're trying to do is get those supply chains rolling again. You know, some of our favorite brands are struggling to get stuff done, struggling to get stock in place for Christmas. And, you know, we're doing what we can to help them with that and to be as understanding as we can with it. In the hope that next year, you know, I believe we'll still have a pandemic of sorts next year, but I think we'll probably be a bit better at dealing with it than we have been this year and the year before. So hopefully then it will be a little bit more growth. And the element of the sort of offering that I really want to look at is that community side.
Yeah.
You know, whether that be some sort of forum or I'm wary because, you know, these things are very intense in terms of labor. And, you know, it's easy to lose a lot of money in this business.
Yeah. You know, what is it? How to make $1 million in stationery? Start with 10.
Yeah, exactly. How to make a small fortune in stationery? Start with a large one. but you know, that's been given out by recent events. You can see that playing out, but it's not a business that's ever going to make millions. It's a business that's a lot of fun and, you know, has introduced me to a whole bunch, but yourself being one of them. You know, you and I wouldn't have met if I hadn't got involved with Nero's. So I'm going to keep that going. And hopefully, you know, get some of my money back would be nice. You know, I'm sure Mrs. Hell would appreciate that. And then, yeah, I'll sell it to Amazon for $400 billion. probably not. That's my guess. I need to fly over to Enon and buy him dinner at the very least.
Pick me up on the way. It's probably there's probably a route that you can pick me up on the way.
I'm sure there is. You know, we'll probably have to entice him out. He's going to be sitting in a darkened room, twitching the very mention of the word.
No more Nero's. Don't you come into my house with that name?
Yeah. So if you are listening, Enon, then good luck with the notebook because he listens to 1857 when he's making notebooks.
Yeah, there's going to be one that's sort of stabbed with the neat. You're just really right. I can't sell that one. That's my anger notebook. That's the one that when I'm dealing with stressful things, it bears the brunt.
Yeah, sort of dagger marks. Oh, there we are. Well, there we go. There's the story of the neronotes.co.uk website.
Very exciting. Well, there you go. From markdown to websites, we ran the gambit.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're digital high-tech people. Well, you might be. I've been Stu Lennon.
And I've been TJ Cosgrove. Remember to make the past, the present, in the future. This was a hypertext markup episode of 1857. This is, I think, infamously the episode that should not be. This is the episode that your calendar wanted to happen, but indeed you did not.